Thereupon, the supplementary Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which was described by the personality of Godhead and which contains 10 characteristics, was told with satisfaction by the father, Brahma, to his son, Narad, purported by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Although the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in 4 verses, it had 10 characteristics which will be explained in the next chapter. In the 4 verses, it is first said that the Lord existed before the creation, and thus the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam includes the Vedanta aphorism Janmadhyasya. Janmadhyasya is the beginning. Yet the 4 verses in which it is said that the Lord is the root of everything that be, beginning from the creation up to the supreme abode of the Lord, naturally explain the 10 characteristics. One should not misunderstand by wrong interpretations that the Lord spoke only 4 verses, and that therefore all the rest of the 17,994 verses are useless. The 10 characteristics, as will be explained in the next chapter, require so many years just to explain them properly. Brahmaji had also advised Narad previously that he should expand the idea he had heard from Brahmaji. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed this to Srila Rupa Goswami in a nutshell. But the disciple, Rupa Goswami, expanded this very elaborately, and the same subject was further expanded by Jiva Goswami and even further by Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. We are just trying to follow in the footsteps of all these authorities. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is not like the ordinary fiction or mundane literature. It is unlimited in strength, and however one may expand it according to one's own ability, Bhagavatam still cannot be finished by such expansion. Srimad Bhagavatam, being the sound representation of the Lord, is simultaneously explained in 4 verses and in 4 billion verses, all the same, inasmuch as the Lord is smaller than the atom and bigger than the unlimited sky. Such is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you for this opportunity of service. My respects and obeisances to Shri Manyadabar Prabhu, our Vaishnavis and our assembled devotees. This topic is so interesting because Srila Prabhupada here is explaining the magnanimity of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And why is it that Srila Prabhupada put his life and soul in the Bhagavatam? This is not just an ordinary text. Prabhupada explains it can be expanded up to 4 billion verses. It's the sound representation of God himself. There is no faith, there is no religion, there is no philosophy that ever existed that are directly the personal sound representation, voices and words of God. That is the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the Bhagavatam has a very interesting history. And what you may not know is that the Srimad Bhagavatam and all of the Vedas in society were lost. There was no Vedas in earth. There was no Bhagavatam in earth. There was no Upanishads. There was no Mahabharat. There was nothing. And do you know who the cause of that was? The ancestor of Srila Prabhupada. He was the cause as to why the Vedas were missing from earth. Why is it important to understand this story? Because Srila Prabhupada is part of that pastime. His ancestor got rid of the Vedas from the universe, from the earth. Why? So Srila Prabhupada can come and expand and re-establish the Bhagavatam for us. Because in this pastime, we understand that the Bhagavatam gained more importance by becoming missing from earth. In the Varaha Puran, it is explained that once upon a time, Maharishi Gautam, he resided in the forest called Dandak, Dandakaranya, where Lord Ramchandra spent so many years. While engaged in severe pastimes, he decided to conduct severe austerities. During his austerities, Lord Brahma appeared. And Brahmaji said to Gautam Rishi, I'm so pleased of your austerities that you have done for the welfare of mankind, all living entities. Please ask for a boon. Gautam Rishi said that if you are satisfied with my devotion, then please give me some seeds by which I can daily grow crops and grains. Why? So I can please and serve the Vaishnavas, Prasad. Lord Brahma said, Tathastu. So Gautam Rishi, he then established his hermitage in Shatshringa. And daily in the morning, he would extract crops and grains from his farm, cook sumptuous lunch, and serve it as prasad to devotees. And this happened for many, many years. Once upon a time, during the end of Dwapar Yug, there was a famine. And during this famine, which lasted for 12 years, many, many devotees, many, many sages became malnourished. They became famished because there was no grains. They then came to the hermitage of Gautam Rishi. And Gautam Rishi welcomed them into his hermitage, and daily he would cook prasad for them. And this happened for a number of years until the famine stopped. At that time, Maharishi Marich, he said to Shandilya Rishi that Gautam Rishi is just like your father. We should now go on pilgrimage, but we cannot just leave the ashram. We should first seek the permission to leave the ashram of Gautam. At that time, the assembled sages began to laugh. And they said, do you think that we, Brahmins, devotees, have been purchased by the daily feeding of Gautam Rishi? We can do as we like. We can leave as we want without telling Gautam. We are independent. We are all powerful. At that time, the sages, they manifested a magical cow. This magical cow began to roam around the farm and the fields of Gautam Rishi. Gautam Rishi saw that this cow was trampling upon the crops and the grains, and this will prevent Gautam Rishi from cooking prasad for the devotees. So he became very upset. Gautam Rishi, in his very gentle mind, he took some water from the pot and he sprinkled it over the cow so the cow can be driven away. Something very, very minor and very, very simple. As soon as Gautam Rishi sprinkled the cow with water, the cow dropped dead onto the floor. Jiva Goswami explains it was like a drop of water, rainwater falling onto the ground, splat onto the floor. The sages then said, We must leave Gautama Rishi's ashram. How can we stay at the ashram of somebody who is a killer of the cow? Gautama Rishi was absolutely bewildered. His only passion in life was to serve food, prasad, offered to the Lord, to devotees. And now he's implicated in Gauhatya. The sages, when they saw the genuine compassion and sincerity of Gautama Rishi, even their heart moved. Despite trying to trick Gautama Rishi, they had some goodness in their heart. Then they said to Gautama, actually the cow hasn't been killed by your sprinkling of water. The cow just became unconscious. Gautama said, but what is the atonement for even doing this great offense? They said, if you can bring Mother Ganga and sprinkle this water upon the cow will come back to life and become conscious. But there's a problem. It's a forest. Dandakaranya. Where would I get Ganga from? So Gautama Rishi, he then walked all the way from Dandakaranya to the Himalayas. And in the Himalayas, Gautama Rishi began to do severe tapasya. For 101 years, he prayed to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva appeared and he said, how can I serve you? Gautama Rishi said, from one of your locks, please release a stream of water, the holy Ganga, and allow the Ganga to follow me. Lord Shiva said, of course, no problem. The Ganga, which emanated from one lock of Lord Shiva, followed Gautama Rishi from the north of India all the way down to the south. And Gautama Rishi asked the Ganga to please remain in Dandakaranya. And he brought the Ganga just beside where the cow was lying dead or unconscious. Immediately, by the touch of Mother Ganga, the cow came back to life. The seven sages came in their vimans and they started to praise Gautama Rishi. But Gautama Rishi was thinking, what is going on? How comes I had to go through all of this? And then in Gautama Rishi's divine meditation, he realized that he was tricked by the devotees. He was tricked by the Brahmins. Gautama Rishi then thought, actually, this is an offense to Sri Radha. Because the knowledge that devotees have is an expansion of the feminine internal potency of Lord Sri Krishna. And if you use divine knowledge to trick, to upset, to humiliate, to offend devotees, Sri Radha cannot reside with any such devotee. It is not possible. The reason why in ISKCON and Krishna consciousness, we are the best at respecting and treating females and males equally, because it is in our faith that a supreme goddess is Sri Radha. There's no other faith like that. No other religion like that. Think about it. Every time we open the altar, we see Sri Radha present. How can she reside with devotees that offend other devotees? So Gautama Rishi said, you cannot be a recipient of knowledge of Krishna. And he cursed that this knowledge that has been utilized in the wrong way to offend devotees will now become lost, will become bereft from the face of the earth. Immediately, from the minds and the hearts of the devotees, Vedic knowledge vanished. So this is what happened in the Dwapara Yuga. Can you imagine what the state of the earth was at this offense? That's why, you know, Sri Prabhupada's books, knowledge about Krishna is a powerful weapon. And when misused, it can cause catastrophe on mankind and the community. Which is why every devotee who is absolutely, they are blessed in unlimited ways to receive information about Lord Krishna, you have to look after and guard it so carefully and so sensitively. This is why Srila Vyasadeva appeared. Srila Vyasadeva appeared so that the Vedas could be re-established. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in this purport, he explains that the Bhagavatam was first in 4 verses, and then it was expanded. Now, what's interesting is, the Srimad Bhagavatam, why was it delivered in 4 verses? Why was it expanded into 18,000 verses? What is its relationship with the Vedic scriptures that had got missing? Why did Srila Vyasadeva ultimately decide that the Bhagavatam is the only scripture that we should utilize to understand God consciousness, Krishna consciousness? Why is it the topmost and supreme scripture? I would like to share the epistemology of the Bhagavatam from this point, from the point where the Vedas and all scriptures were missing from earth. And the purpose of trying to describe the epistemology of the Bhagavatam is to inspire each of us in our Bhagavata preaching and infuse us. Before this class, over the past week, I messaged a number of devotees who have been practicing Krishna consciousness for 20 years plus, and I asked them to send me their best arguments against the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I've got about 20 to 30 questions to try to answer. So I will attempt to go through these also in defense of the Srimad Bhagavatam with the purpose of inspiring and increasing our enthusiasm to read Srila Prabhupada's books. So, the ultimate answer is that the Srimad Bhagavatam that was written down by Srila Vyasadeva, it was actually edited. It was revised. Srila Vyasadeva did not write the Srimad Bhagavatam in a current form first time. In the Bhagavatam itself, 1st Canto, chapter 7, verse number 8, it explains that the great sage Vyasadeva, after compiling Kritva, having compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, Sri Shukadeva Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. Now, in this verse that we're quoting, the word anukramya, Prabhupada has transliterated by the words, by correction and repetition. So Srila Vyasadeva, he corrected and he repeated and he expanded the original Srimad Bhagavatam that he had written together with the other 17 Puranas. So the Bhagavatam was not just one-time manifestation of 18,000 verses. Srila Vyasadeva had to revise the Srimad Bhagavatam to the point that it got to today. And you all know why he did that. Now, Sridhar Swami, Prabhupada mentions about commentators, and he explains on how these commentators have further expanded Srimad Bhagavatam. Sridhar Swami explains that anukramya shodhayitva. He says that by correction and repetition, the Bhagavatam was actually shodhayitva, shodhan. It was purified. So Vyasadeva purified an originally written Bhagavatam. Jiva Goswami explains that kritva anukramya in this verse means that Vyas first composed the Bhagavatam in a condensed version, as we know, the Chatushloki. And later on, by the instructions of Narad, expanded it to the form that we know today. Now, Baldev Vidya Bhushan, in the commentary on this verse, he explains that in the Bhagavatam it says, Yat Atra. The Bhagavatam explains that it was written after the Mahabharata. Now, in the Puranas, like Matsya and Skanda, it says the opposite. It says that the Bhagavatam was written after the Mahabharata. So there's a debate amongst the chronological order. Baldev Vidya Bhushan explains that because Vyasadeva had written the Bhagavatam before the Mahabharata, and then he wrote the Mahabharata, and then he revised the Bhagavatam, in this way, this contradiction is solved. The Bhagavatam was written before the Mahabharata and after the Mahabharata. However, before writing the Bhagavatam, we all know that there is a story in the Bhagavatam itself that describes the purpose and the realization that Srila Vyasadeva had in order to expand the Bhagavatam. Why he did this is explained by Jiva Goswami. He says that the Vedas, which were expanded by Vyasadeva, because they were lost from earth, when he documented the Vedas, there's an issue with it. He says that samprati dushparatvad. He says that the Vedic scriptures are difficult to access and difficult to understand. Now, when we read about the commentaries of the Goswamis about the scriptures, we have to be very careful and cautious that we don't blaspheme the scriptures. So Jiva Goswami in this verse, he doesn't blaspheme the scriptures. He doesn't breach the 10 offenses. He says that the Vedas are difficult to comprehend. There are some commentators who have explained that actually the Vedas have been lost today. For example, they quantify it to 6%. However, if you read the actual verse, which is being utilized to try to quantify the Vedas today to 6%, there are mistakes in that evidence. In the last word of this particular verse that's quoted, it says Kushaketana. It explains that the Vedas are not currently in 6%. The purpose of this particular verse in the Kurma Puran that Mahaprabhu himself found says that there are different schools that promoted the Vedic scriptures. For example, Ekavimshati Bhedena, Rigaveda Kritavan Pura. The Rigaved was taught in 21 schools. However, recent commentators have misunderstood that these schools actually means versions of the scriptures. This is not true. So therefore, what Jiva Goswami is saying is absolutely true. It is just difficult to access and understand. Now, given the fact that the Vedic scriptures are difficult to access and difficult to understand because of their grammar and the way that they have been presented by Vyasadev, this is why it is said that Nitya Shabdamayam Punyam Shatakoti Pravistaram. It says that long ago, Lord Brahma, he manifested the Vedas and the six Angas along with verses in a particular order. Then the eternal Puranas were manifested in 1 billion verses. So in this verse we understand that we have an alternative to the Vedas, which are the Puranas. And the Puranas were actually manifested by Lord Brahma in 1 billion verses. And these 1 billion verses live even today in Brahmalok. And this is expanded by Jiva Goswami. Now, why is this point important? Because the Bhagavatam itself in the first canto, chapter 4, says, Itihas Puranam cha Panchama Veda Uchyate. The Chandogya Upanishad says the same thing as well. That the Itihasa and Puranas are actually the fifth Ved. So therefore, in the absence of being able to understand and decipher the Vedas, you can utilize the fifth Ved, the Puranas and the Itihasas, to better understand the Vedas. Now there's also an issue with the Puranas as well. The Puranas themselves have a problem. They promote the worship of different Devatas. Nana Devata Pratipadaka. And therefore it creates confusion. Even amongst people who want to read the Puranas in the absence of the Vedas, being able to comprehend. So because the Puranas also have an issue, despite being more clearer in the explanation of the Vedic scriptures, this can be solved if there is one scripture which is of the same quality, Apurusheya, directly from the Lord, and also is the essence of all Vedic scriptures. And the answer is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, what's interesting to note is that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, its manifestation by Vyasadev is purposefully being written so that the intimate pastimes behind closed doors of Lord Shri Krishna can be revealed. It is not that Krishna and his pastimes have not been revealed. The Mahabharata is written, which has so much information about Lord Krishna. But what was missing was the intimate, sweet, madhurya pastimes of Lord Krishna. And this is what Vyasadev then expanded from Chatushloki Bhagavatam into 18,000 verses. Now we also understand in the Bhagavatam that it was actually spoken by Shukdev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. And then later on, in the forest of Nameshwaranya, it was also spoken by Sutta Goswami to Shonak and the assembled sages, the thousands of sages. So how can the Bhagavatam be 18,000 verses? Jiva Goswami explains that Srila Vyasadev was present when Shukdev spoke the Bhagavatam, and he was also present when Sudha Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam. So Srila Vyasadeva, and this is one of the questions that came in, what is the timeline of when the Bhagavatam was written by Vyasadeva? He wrote it after these two incidences. This is very important to know. Otherwise we get confused. Many devotees say, oh, maybe he predicted the discussion between Sutta and Shaunaka. I mean, that's a big prediction. You know? Or maybe Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj predicted. That's another big prediction. You know? No. Vyasadeva attended those Bhagavad classes. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And then he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is why the Mahabharata predates the Bhagavatam. Do you understand? This is how the Bhagavatam was written in 18,000 verses. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagwan ki jai, Shri Sita Lakshmana Hanuman ki jai, Shri Gaunitaya ki jai. Now, the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, Vyasadev actually solved the problem of society by writing the Brahma Sutras. In the Vedanta Sutra, Vyasadev aims to summarize all of the most important points of the scriptures. Now, why is this? Because actually, in the Vedic scriptures, every single word is only to do with Lord Krishna. I will give you an example. If I say the mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya, and if I ask you, what do you think that means? You will naturally say, it's a mantra to Lord Narayana, correct? If I say to you, Om Namah Shivaya, what would you say? The meaning is, it's a prayer to Lord Shiva. But this is incorrect. If we talk about the mantra Om Namo Narayanaya, this is a mantra in the Yajurveda's Narayana Upanishad. And in that mantra, it says Pratyaganandam Brahma Purusham Pranavasvarupam Akara Ukara Makarati Tanekada Sametat Om Iti Yam Uktva Muchete Yogi Janma Samsara Bandhanat Om Namo Narayanayeti Mantra Pasakaha Vaikuntha Bhuvanam Gamishyati Tadidam Pundarikam Vigyaganagam Tasmat Tadidhava Matram Brahmanyo Devaki Putro Brahmanyo Madhusudanaha Brahmanyo Pundarikaksho Brahmanyo Vishnur Achyut Yeti. So I think you might have understood some of the words. In this Upanishad, it says that Pratyak Anandam Brahma Purusham Pranavasvarupam, that the Pranava, the Om, is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But who is Godhead? He can be understood through the mantra Om Namo Narayanaya. But who is the deity of this mantra? The son of Mavadeviki, the son of Mavadeviki, Brahmanyo Deviki Putro, Brahmanyo Madhusudanaha, Brahmanyo Pundarikaksho, Brahmanyo Vishnu Achutyeti. It is the son of Devaki who is the supreme Brahman. It is the son of Devaki who is the origin of Lord Vishnu. It is that son of Devaki who is known as Madhusudan. And he has beautiful eyes, lotus eyes, Pundarikaksha. This is why Srila Prabhupada explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam that in all Vedic scriptures, you will find Vede Ramayane Cheiva, Purane Bharata Tatha, Adav Antecha Madhyacha, Hari Sarvatra Giyati. In every single Veda, in every single scripture, every single name is a name of Sri Krishna. So what does this mean? Some commentators, and if you don't mind me saying, even some Vaishnavas, they say that the Vedas were actually manifested by rishis, right? So if you Google this, or you go to ChatGPT, right? You Google it, and it will say that the Vedas were spoken by rishis. For example, the Gayatri Mantra, Brahma Gayatri, right? Vishwamitra Rishihi, Gayatri Chandaha, right? Different, but this is actually not the right understanding. In the scriptures, it explains that, well, Rig Veda actually explains, Yagyena Vacha Padaviyam Ayan Tam Anya Vindya Rishu Pravishtham. It says that drawing out the words of the Vedas, dwelling within the sages by sacrifice, the sages merely revealed the Vedas. And creation after creation, when Lord Brahma manifests the universe, the words and names of the Vedas that are denoting devatas can said not to be eternal. However, all beings are created from the eternal words. So what this means is that in the Vedic scriptures, when there is a name called Vishwamitra, or Vashishta, or Bhargav, or Shandilya, or Atri, or Maricha, or Indra, or Ganesh, or Shiva, the list is so long. These are not names of the personalities to whom you associate these names to. These are names of Sri Krishna in the Vedic scriptures. And in the same way that a grihastha couple named their child after Krishna, Lord Brahma gave these names in the Vedas to various personalities. So it is not true that the Vishwamitra of the Ramayana is the sage of the Gayatri Mantra. It is not true that Vashishtha and Atri and other types of sages are the people who found the Vedas. This is not true. All of these names are names of Sri Krishna. And they were given to people. However, Krishna, he reserved his primary names for his incarnations, like Narayana, Vaman, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his secondary names he gave to the rishis and to the devatas. This is how we can evidence and substantiate that the scriptures are none other than glorifications of Sri Krishna, and he is the origin of the scriptures too. This is a very important point to make. However, still people don't understand this. That's why the Brahma Sutras are written. First verse, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Second verse, Janmadhyasyataha. Third verse, Shastra Yonitvat. In codes, Vyasadev aimed to summarize the purpose of the Vedas. He said that in the human form of life, you should inquire about Lord Sri Krishna. Athato Brahma Jigyasa. Because why? Janmadhyasyataha. He is the source of creation. But how? Shastra Yonitvat. See Krishna, understand Krishna through the eyes of the scriptures. Even this was a problematic situation for individuals to understand. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam from the Chatushloki was expanded into 18,000 verses as the natural commentary on the Brahma Sutra. In fact, you will find verses in the Brahma Sutra that have a direct corresponding verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is how connected the scriptures are. For example, in the Brahma Sutras, it says, Shabda iti jenata prabhavat praksha anumana bhyam. It says that the words of the Vedas do not denote devatas, but only the original personality of Godhead. This verse is Canto 1, Chapter 3, verse number 28. This very same reference in the Srimad Bhagavatam is Ete Chamcha Kalapumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So Vyasadeva in the Brahma Sutra is saying that all names of the scriptures is Lord Sri Krishna. And as a commentary on this verse, in the exact same reference in the Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva explains, and that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. This is how the Bhagavatam is actually a commentary on the Brahma Sutras. It is not just a generalistic, sentimental point. It's a direct commentary. And in order to show the importance of the Srimad Bhagavatam, all of you know that at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it invokes the second verse of the Brahma Sutra, Janmadhyasyataha. And in that very same one verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse, it contains the sacred Brahma Gayatri. Why does it contain Brahma Gayatri? Because in the Agni Puran, Jiva Goswami, you may have read in your own time, he wrote a commentary where he explains that the Brahma Gayatri is actually a prayer to Sri Radha. And therefore, this Brahma Gayatri was included in the first verse of the Bhagavatam. So in this way, the Srimad Bhagavatam itself commentates upon the Vedanta Sutra, which is the conclusion of all Vedic scriptures, to provide more clarity on the purpose of the literature. It also contains direct references to the Brahma Sutra, and also It contains the Brahma Gayatri, the word Dhimahi. And in this way, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the only scripture that is required for individuals to understand the science of Krishna consciousness. Some devotees, they ask, why is it that the Srimad Bhagavatam waits for 10 cantos before arriving at Krishna's pastimes? It's one of the arguments. Actually, it doesn't. In the second chapter of the first canto, what is the question asked by the sages? Who is the personality of Godhead? Immediately next chapter, chapter 3, Ete chamsa kala pumsa, Krishna stu bhagwan swayam. It's Krishna. So actually the Bhagavatam can be stopped there. Because the answer given to the question is immediately provided in the very next chapter. First canto, chapter 3, verse number 28. Now, why is there a pause before the 10th canto? Srila Prabhupada explains, and all of you know this, that the Bhagavatam actually is the form of Sri Krishna. And the cantos represent his various limbs and angas. And therefore, in order to make sure that we gain the maturity of devotion, we go through the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in doing so, we end up worshipping his parishadas. We end up worshipping his associates. We go through the different bhavs and enter into the 10th canto, having qualified ourselves by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada to read page after page after page before we come to that point. And even on the 10th canto, you require the mercy of the Vaishnavas and devotees and of course the purport of Srila Prabhupada to be able to understand this even more. Even after going through the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto does not become clear. So therefore, it's very important that the Srimad Bhagavatam is studied in the correct order. One argument given is that the Leelas in the Bhagavatam are not real. From an archaeological and historical perspective, you can still find, to this day, so many sites still present in the world. Another question, how do we know that the references of Lord Chaitanya are indeed to him? There are other people that claim verses in the Bhagavatam refer to other personalities in Kali Yuga. Krishna Varnam Twisa Krishnam Sangopa Gashta Parishadam Yagya Sankirtana Prayer Yantihi Sumedasha. The answer to this question is in the verse itself. It says Sumedasha. Only those individuals that are super intelligent and super smart, only they can understand how in this verse Krishna Varnam refers to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the answer itself is in the verse. And that's the beauty when you look at these verses. Nevertheless, this particular verse, Krishna Varnam, again, because the Bhagavatam is a commentary on the Brahma Sutras and also a commentary on the Mahabharata, as the Garuda Purana explains, this verse, Krishna Varnam Tusa Krishnam, you can find its inspiration from the words of Bhishma in the Vishnu Sahasranam, where he explains, Suvarna Varna Hemanga Varangas Chandanangadi Sanyasa Kritchama Shanto Nishta Shanti Parayana. That the personality of Godhead appeared as a sannyasi to provide the peace formula. Suvarna Vanna, his bodily color is golden. Hemanga, Barangas, Chandanangadi, he has Chandan Tilak all over his body. This verse collaborates directly with the verse of Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam. But it's not just that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not just an ordinary incarnation. This question actually is misleading. Mahaprabhu is not just an incarnation that appeared in Kali Yuga. He is an eternal form of Radha and Krishna. He not only appears in Kali Yuga, he appears in all yugas actually. We may not know that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, some of you may have read, that in his books he reveals conversations between Shiva and Parvati and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some of you may have read that in his words. These are directly from the Vedic scriptures in fact. In the same way that the devatas pray to Lord Sri Krishna when in the womb of Devaki, in the scriptures you find that there were ample prayers, Deva Uchuhu, to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was in the womb of Shachimata. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita there is a verse, Anarpita, Chiram. This particular verse has no reference in it. If you look at the purport, there's no reference, it's unknown. This particular verse is in the Puranas. This particular verse was a verse that the devatas recited to Sachimata when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the womb. What I did actually was I took some pictures of some of the scriptures, I mean, you probably can't see, which directly corroborates this idea. In the same prayers of the demigods to Sachi Mata, it also says, Samudhara Mahaprabho Krishna Chaitanya Sachi Sutam, that, O son of Mother Sachi, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are an ocean of mercy. So in this way, the Vedic scriptures actually provide a lot of information about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But for the purpose of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he was kept as a Channa avatar. The scriptures also go on to describe the different associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this particular verse, Krishna Varnam Tuishta Krishnam Sangha Upanga Ashta Parishadam, the Mahaprabhu will appear with his various associates. In the Vedic scriptures, there's another verse that I took an image of. It says here, Shukra Dattasya Tanayo Nityananda Iti Smrita, that Mahaprabhu will appear with his eternal associate, Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So in this way, you'll find that time and time again, there are verses throughout the Vedic scriptures where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as a regular personality of Godhead. In fact, even his pastimes that are that are carried out in Kali Yuga, they're not pastimes that are just carried out once. These are pastimes that are carried out repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. That is why the Itihasas and Puranas actually document the pastimes before they're carried out. One example. Atha param shuno mune charitram chahare muda yat chutva cha kalo ghore jano naivam bhayam brajet. There is a pastime, just by listening to, your fears of Kali Yuga will be destroyed. Panchabde Krishna Chaitanya yagyam shagikarine. At the age of 5, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his pastimes was met by Vagadesh Bhavo Vipra Ishvara Sharada Priya, the scholar from Kashmir, whose name was Keshav Kashmiri. And then they have a debate. And in that debate, Satam Digvijayam Kritva Sarva Shastra Visharadaha, that Keshav Kashmiri used Digvijayi, he challenged Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for debate. And it's a very, very long document in the scriptures. And it also explains that after debating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lajjitam, Saraswati appeared and said to Keshav Kashmiri, you should be ashamed. Mahaprabhu is my Lord. How can you debate him? Go and seek his shelter. The Vedic scriptures explains, Iti shrutva tu tachishyaha Krishna mantra upasaka. Keshav Kashmiri then accepted the revelation by Saraswati and he became a worshipper of Lord Shri Krishna. And is particularly Babhuva Vaishnava Shreshtha. He became a devotee, a great Vaishnava of Krishna Chaitanya Sevaka, as a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there are so many references in the scriptures. There are hundreds and hundreds of references in the scriptures that directly corroborate the fact that the predictions in Srimad Bhagavatam is the son of Mother Sachi, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. There are so many more verses, so many more questions that have been provided here that I don't think we'll have the time to cover. One particular question that I was asked to just mention and touch was the fact that why is it that there are some Vedic texts that seem to be more accurate than the Bhagavatam? For example, the distance between the sun, the moon, and the earth. Okay, very controversial topic. However, it's not. It's actually very simple. If you look at the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, the reason why the moon is higher than the sun is because Surya is on a similar plane, Bhumandala, to earth. So if you have earth here, you have Surya here, Bhumandala here. So it is closer to the plane of earth. If earth was lift number 1, Surya is lift number 2. Chandra is lift number 10. It's actually closer to the earth, but further away from Bhumandala. So you see, like, you have to really understand the verses in the Bhagavatam. You can't just assume that a Paramahamsa Samhita can be understood by ordinary people. You have to really dig deep to understand apparent contradictions with modern sciences to be able to answer them. There are so many other verse questions. Mahabharata mentions Draupadi was disrobed. Why is this not in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Actually, you'd find that the Bhagavatam is a commentary on the Mahabharata. So first what you need to find is the stories in the Mahabharata. Are they true? Yes, absolutely. Lord Krishna, while having prasad in Dwarika, without putting his shoes on, he ran across Rajasthan and Gujarat, arrived in Uttar Pradesh to protect Draupadi. There is a big pastime in the Mahabharata. And Krishna again and again described that the earth just shall drink the blood of the Kauravas for what they did to Draupadi. And then the Bhagavatam commentates upon this. It not necessarily is going to duplicate the information. So you have to understand the perspective of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the purpose of it. There's so many other questions that we don't have time to cover. Shankaracharya, why did he not write the commentary on the Bhagavatam? Because he respected the Bhagavatam. He took out the pastime of Yashoda and Krishna, and he wrote about that. But he would not touch the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is Amala Puranam. He did not dare to misrepresent the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are so many other questions that I don't think I'll have time to cover. Are there any comments? Or I know we've run out of time. Are there any comments or questions that any of the devotees would like to mention? And please forgive me for not covering all the questions because of time constraints. Yes, would you like to go? Yes, Prabhuji. Sure. You be next.
I'm looking at the Bhagavad Gita, actually. It's chapter 15, text 15.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Sarvasya Chaham Hirdi Anavista. And, you know, like maybe your just brief comment on you know, Bhagavad Gita is Krishna himself.
Absolutely.
Speaking about himself.
Yeah, Prabhuji, thank you. 15.15. Vaidesha Sarvera Hameva Vedyo Vedanta Krit Vedavideva Chaham. He's the origin, he's the writer, he's the author, he's the object, he's the knower of the Vedas. But guess what? You're not going to work this out. Do you know why? Matta, smritir gyana pohanam cha. Krishna decides who can't understand this verse. That's the most interesting part of the verse. Actually, it's not the second part. Yeah, Krishna is the origin, Krishna is the object. The interesting part is that why can't people understand how Krishna is the object of the Vedas? Because he says in the first line that I steal away your memory. I steal away your intelligence. Why? Because you have to be like Arjun. You have to be a devotee performing devotional service before you can understand the personality of Godhead. So even though Krishna says this, people don't understand. There was one question from Prabhuji. Why is it that many Hindu sects don't accept Krishna? Because Krishna doesn't want to be accepted by them. He says in the 15.15, I hide myself from general masses of people. You've got to be really special. Every devotee that Srila Prabhupada touched, his sons and daughters, and by their grace, Prabhupada's grandsons and granddaughters, they are all bahunam janmanamante gyanamana prabhadyante. They are the individuals out of many, many millions of people that come to understand Krishna. You know, so we're so grateful, actually, for Srila Prabhupada. Very unique. Otherwise, we can't understand him, despite the words of the Gita. Is that okay, Prabhuji? That part's very interesting. Krishna doesn't let people even understand the verse that they're reading. Yeah. Matta smitirga apohanam cha. You know, he'll make you forget. Was there another question on this side? Prabhuji, yes.
But you mentioned earlier that Vyasadev, Srila Vyasadev, had written the Bhagavatam in some, you know, era. I had a doubt, so I just want to clarify it. Like I had heard, like Lord Ganesha had written it, and Lord Srila Vyasadev, who is the literally incarnation, has spoken it.
Sure, very good question. So 18th of February in the year 3152 BC, That is when Vyasadeva published his scriptures. Haribol! That was the day. That was the day when he published the scriptures. Again, it's a very interesting day, Falgun Mas. So Srila Vyasadeva, actually, he himself edited and documented the Vedas. The only scripture which he didn't write himself is the Mahabharata. And there's a story behind that which we don't have time to explain. Why was it that Ganesh was asked to write the Mahabharata? I'm going to find it difficult, but maybe just one line. Just one line. In general, ChatGPT and encyclopedias and books on Hinduism, the whole story about how Ganesh appeared actually is not the stories and the Puranas. It's nothing to do with that. The personality that actually gave the boy the head of the elephant was Krishna himself. It wasn't Lord Shiva. Despite millions of people say this, it's not true. In the Bhagavad Purana, it explains this. Ganesh actually has a very intimate relationship with Krishna. That is why in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada explains, do you remember that line? Anyone can say about Ganesh? One should worship Ganesh. He says in the Nectar of Devotion. Now in practice, we don't do that, right? We worship him differently. Because the fact is that Mahaprabhu went to South India to convert the Shaivites. There's a reason for that, right? He was an active preacher. He wasn't just a Haribol guy, right? It's a really interesting point to make, right? He wasn't just a sentimental guy that walked around chanting and dancing. He was like, Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada, they were active preachers. They went into the enemy's camp alone, going against hundreds and thousands of individuals' philosophy that has been established for 1,000 years ago by Shankaracharya. Single-handedly, Mahaprabhu went in there and he debated Prakasham and Saraswati. He debated Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, the head Purohit of the king of Orissa, Jagannath himself. He was really brave. That tells you something, actually. Kirtan and Prasad, all these things are absolutely essential. ISKCON would not have been established if it wasn't for the Kirtan, especially the activities that were done in London, you know, through the Beatles, etc. However, what's really important is Prabhupada's enthusiasm and his absolute dedication to preach. And Mahaprabhu demonstrates that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita again and again and again. However, still, we don't worship Lord Shiva. Because why? We are Prabhupada. This is actually a really interesting word. We are Prabhupada Nugas. We follow Srila Prabhupada's example. What Srila Prabhupada did, we do. Right? But nevertheless, Ganesh has an intimate association with Krishna, which maybe at a future time we can describe the pastime. That is why, on behalf of Lord Sri Krishna, in the form of Ganesh, not the Ganesh that you are aware of, because that Ganesh has an association with Parvati and Shiva and so many other things. This is a Ganesh, according to the scripture, who is a representation of Lord Sri Krishna. That is the Ganesh who wrote the Mahabharata as Vyasadeva spoke. That is why it doesn't contradict 15.15. Otherwise, if Ganapati Ganesh, the personality whom we believe wrote the Mahabharata, then it would have contradicted 15.15. Because Krishna says, I am the compiler, I am the writer of the scriptures. So you have to understand the context of the personalities. Now that you have heard that Katha, Vishwamitra, Marichi are not the rishis who revealed the Vedas. Actually, they're Krishna's forms. You can also doubt yourself that all the names like Ganesh, etc., who you believe they are, actually are not the same. You have to really understand the scriptures as it is to be able to get the answer to your question. So does this help? It is not the Ganapati who we assume. Yeah, the Ganapati that wrote the Mahabharata is Lord Sri Krishna's representation as described in the Bhagavad Puran. Yeah. Take care. Any other... Oh, we're running out of time. Any other comments or questions? Haribol, I'm waiting for your question.
Prabhu, how does the acharyas follow their previous acharya and yet expand and, you know, make it more? So in the purport, you know, Prabhupada mentions Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and he says, you know, you have to, you know, does that mean like you stick to the essence, but the presentation can change? Or is the presentation also adherent to the previous acharya's mood? Yeah. So how does that all work together?
Thank you. Question is very good. Previous acharyas, they're actually superhuman. You know, in chapter 15, there's that beautiful verse, right? Kshara akshara evacha. Kshara saravani bhutani. Kuto sokshara uchyate. There are two types of people. There are those who are fallen, and there are those who are liberated. Right? Eternally liberated. And then beyond them, there's Krishna. Right? Uttama purushastvanya paramatmetu dharita tarokima vishya bhaparta avya ishvaraha. Right? So there are three classes of people. There are humans, us, jivas, atmas, souls. We get born based upon our karma, and we, you know, get blessings, and we have to deal with our consequences. And then we have the acharyas. So Srila Prabhupada, he explains that he read his own commentaries because Krishna wrote through Srila Prabhupada's hands. And the previous acharyas do the same. So how is it that Krishna expands his own texts through his eternally liberated personalities? So in reference to the purport, what you find actually is that the Srimad Bhagavatam plus Bhaktivedanta purports is Srimad Bhagavatam as it is. Same way in the Bhagavad Gita. What Prabhupada wrote actually are the words inspired by Krishna himself. That is why it was eligible for him to read. That's why he would hear his own purports and ask us to read. Because actually, it's Krishna who wrote this. And it's not uncommon. Govinda Bhashya, Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada dedicates Gita to who? Baldev Vidyabhushan. The Vedanta Sutra that we spoke about so much. Govinda Dev himself inspired Baldev Vidyabhushan to write the commentary. So these are not Baldev Vidyabhushan's words, but they're the words of Govinda Dev. You should definitely go to see that deity. I went to see it for the first time in my life in November. It's unbelievably fascinating. It's huge. And when you see Govinda Dev, you actually get frightened. You realize that Krishna actually exists. He's so beautiful. And that is the deity that spoke the Govinda Bhashya, the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So like this, the words of the acharyas, as they write, Krishna expands upon the words. And just one final example. This is why at the end of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami explains that a future Vyas is going to expand Mahaprabhu's pastimes even further. Because why? Itihas. Itihas means history. Mahaprabhu appeared in Navadvip, carried out his pastimes. Now that's become history. So the next Vyas, who is going to be? Ashwatthama. Right? When he compiles the Vedas, he will expand on Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you're around, if I'm around, next yug, next kalpa, probably will, you'll find that in the Vedic scriptures, there'll be a huge dedication to Chaitanya Charitamrita, plus more. You see? So the pastimes eternally get expanded by Krishna's representations, the previous acharyas, in this way. So in summary, Krishna speaks through his pure devotees. Their words are Krishna's words. And that is how the scriptures get expanded from 4 verses to 4 billion. That Prabhupada explains. Does that answer your question? They're so unique, huh? Acharyas. And people like Yadubra Prabhu are so blessed to be in the association of such personalities. Prabhupada, would you like to say anything? Would you like to add anything?
I don't think I can add anything to that. I'm in awe of your erudition and learning. Who are you anyway?
I'm somebody that absolutely loves the work that you've done. I really encourage everybody to purchase the wonderful presentation that Yadav Prabhu has done. You know, every day we watch it at home. So please do purchase the video footage that Prabhuji has done. And also help in his project. I'm going to try to help myself. I think it's so important that the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, I was born in 78, right? So I didn't get to see Prabhupada. There was no chance. I don't even really know that he exists, ultimately, okay? Because I never saw him. But through Yadav Prabhu and his daughters and sons, we get to know about Srila Prabhupada. If they hadn't given us Prabhupada's books, if they had not kept ISKCON going, if they do not provide footage to Srila Prabhupada, what chance do we have of a connection with Srila Prabhupada? So actually, anything that we know is due to the kindness of his daughters and sons providing this information onwards to the next generation. So thank you, Prabhuji, for being a beacon for our spiritual life.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai Prabhupada.
Thank you so much. Just one announcement. Today is the sacred appearance day of Janakinath Prabhu, a wonderful friend and a stalwart follower of Bhaktivedanta Manor, one of our sacred and most dearest brahmacharis. Please do spend the day discussing his pastimes and his times with each of us. My pastime is he was an absolute incredible magician. He would come home and do all his magic tricks. And I'm sure you might have seen some of his magic tricks. And apart from that, he was such an amazing preacher. Preached to the end of his current birth. And now he's dancing and singing with Lord Shri Krishna. So please remember him on this day. We miss him so much. Janakinath Prabhu. All glories to Janakinath Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm very sorry that we ran over time. But I'm grateful. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.